Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And this, I am also the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. And we encourage you so much to come by and be with us on Sunday mornings. My beautiful co-host is with me this morning. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. Thank you so much. This is Minister Tabika Garnes, and I am excited this morning because why I'm alive and you're alive and our callers, our listeners have joined us. So, you know, they are as well. So we just give God thanks for that.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. As always, I want to say good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, my love. I pray that God is continuously blessing you and that as you go forth today, that you will find reasons more than you thought of that you will give God praise for. He truly deserves it. Good morning to Joyce. Hallelujah. God bless you. That's Joyce here in Maryland. Joyce also in New York. Praise God. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim, Prophet Crawford and his wife, Songbird, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. God bless you, man of God. Loving you as always. Praise be unto God. To you and your family, good morning. Excuse me. Good morning to Michelle Williams. Good morning. Good morning. Just good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning to you. As always, we want to encourage you to be sharing this station with your loved ones. Tell them to come and hear Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. There's something always on here that should touch your hearts and bring about a change. And we pray that you love it enough that you are sharing it with others. Also tell them that they can go to www.newvisionforlife and can leave messages there for prayer, messages for topics to talk about. We also, you know, you can reach us through Heart to Heart. You can always come back to this station here on Blog Talk Radio and look at the archives or listen to the archive messages from Heart to Heart. So if you don't catch them while they are live, you can always catch the recorded version of it. So it is good, like I said, for us to be with you today. As Minister Tabika said, you know, it is a good day because we are alive. We are alive. And we want to give God all the glory and the honor for what he has done. I am going to ask Minister Tabika to please open us up in prayer. Praise be unto God. And saints of God, as she is praying, I pray that each one of you are saying a prayer also, praying and knowing that you are touching the heart of God this morning. Let him touch your heart as we go forth. We want to be in his presence. We want Holy Spirit to have his way here with us today. Go ahead, baby.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we adore you in the name of Jesus. Lord, just we welcome you on this line right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. But this show belongs to you, Lord God. This show belongs to you in the name of Jesus, oh God. So we just want you to feel free to have your way, that we move out of your way, that we won't hinder whatever it is that you want to do on this show, Father God. So, Lord, we just dedicate this show to you, because you made a way for us to be able to do this, Lord God. And so we don't take it for granted, and we just want to honor you in that. We just want to say thank you for choosing us to do this show, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. So we just want to give you glory, Lord God. We just want to thank you and let you know that you are everything that we will ever, ever, ever need. And we thank you for being faithful, and we thank you for being just, and we thank you for being pure, and we thank you for being lovely, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you are the great I Am, Lord God. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord God, that you are Emmanuel. We thank you, Lord God, that there is none like you, Father. And, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness of our sins, those done in thought, word, or deed, Lord God. And we turn away, Lord God, from those things that have made you unhappy, Lord God, that the things that we still have buried and hidden in our hearts that we just don't want to deal with, Lord God. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you just heal our minds and our hearts right now in the name of Jesus, God. Let this information, Lord God, saturate your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Just let your presence saturate your people, God. Just purify our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Purify our hearts, God. Don't let us continue to come and listen and speak on these things, Lord God, and continue to be the same way, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Let our hearts be changed. Let our minds be changed, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Let us be intentional, Lord God, about the things of you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So let your peace just flow through this line even now, Lord God. However you see fit, Lord God, let it be in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We digress, Lord God, so that you may have your way, Lord God, that you may speak your truth, Father, that you may speak your love, Lord God, that you may speak your word, Lord God, that you may speak your knowledge, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah, Lord God, we will never take the glory for you, Father God. Because of you, Lord God, we are here. Because of you, Lord God, we are alive in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Without you, Father, we are nothing. We are nothing. We are powerless, Father. So, Father, we just call on you even now, Lord God, for your strength, Lord God, for your wisdom, Father God, for your discernment, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Let us love your people, Lord God, the same way that you love your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. So we do give you glory, Lord God. We honor you. We bless you, Lord God. And we just thank you for being our Abba, Father, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the unconditional love that you show us each and every day, God. Even we woke up this morning, God, every day that we wake up, God, we say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for allowing us to see another day, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. So we just give you glory, Lord God. We just ask that your peace just flow through this line, Lord God. Just flow through our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. For you know our hearts, Lord God, and you know what each of us are dealing with, each of us are facing, Lord God, and we just call on you. We just call on you for help. We call on you for the answers, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Let us begin to learn how to ask you, Lord God, for everything that we need, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Ask you, Father God, what it is that we're supposed to do today, Lord God. Who are we supposed to talk to? Who are we supposed to minister to? Who are we, Father God, who is our assignment, Father, in the name of Jesus, God? So let us not continue just to do things just because, Lord God, but let us begin, Lord God, to honor you in the things that we do. Let us begin to command our day, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we may hear you early, Lord God, and that we may live our lives according to your will and your plan, Father God. So we thank you, we bless you, we love you, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you, I feel the presence of the Lord already this morning. Praise God. And I am so grateful for who he is and what he is doing in our lives. I praise him because there is none like him. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you so much for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I excuse me, I get overwhelmed when I think about how good he is and what he has done for me. And when I listen to Lady or Minister Tabika, when I listen to her praying and the heart going out for others to be saved, to be changed, to be restored, I hear the love of Christ in her as she's speaking, and it's that love that gives us the compassion for the souls of others, longing for others to want to be saved and to want to be changed. And even after accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, because of so much and so many negative things have been sown into their spirit, you know, we still operate out of that nature. We still operate from the negative side of things instead of the positive side of things. Right before we came on the show this morning, I had the opportunity to check out a clip from last Sunday's service that was put on New Vision's website. I didn't know that it was there, and I was on Facebook and just happened to see it, and I listened to it, and it was just a few seconds long, a minute or two. I'm not quite sure, you know, but I mean, it was very short, but I listened to it, and I was like, wow, Lord, yes, that is so true. That is so true, and it ties even into what we're talking about today. But it was talking about, you know, how we replay the negative things that have happened in our life, and pulling out a certain situation and how you can remember what the person said and what they were wearing and what they looked like and their hand motions, their facial expressions, you know, what you felt the moment that stuff was said. You know, and you rewind that over and over and over again, and it so becomes a part of you, you know, and you're hurt, you are rejected, you are disappointed, whatever the emotions are that you got from that particular incident, that's where you are, that's where you are stuck, and then you begin to minister to others, treat others right from that spot, right from that hurt, right from that rejection. You began to walk in that and live in that, and yet you are a born-again Christian. And we have the tendency to let all of that stuff from our past truly, truly dictate our future. And the word tells us that once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So that old stuff has to go. That old stuff, the way we used to think, you know, whatever it was, the way we act, the way we spoke, excuse me, the way we lived, all of that old stuff has passed away. Excuse me, and behold, all things are new. So even, you know, as we're getting into what it is we're sharing today, please be encouraged, beloved. Please be encouraged. I love the statement that, the fact that, you know, your thoughts, change your thoughts, and you can change the world. You can do it. You can do it by what you think. So today, this morning, we're coming from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And let me read that for you. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. And I'm using the New King James Version. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. Praise be unto God. Think on these things. Saints, that's what we want to share with you this morning. You know, back in the day, and it's been a while, you know, a generation ago, you know, when the computer revolution had just begun. And, you know, I don't know if you realize it, but a computer, any tech form of technology is only as smart as the person who does the input. If you input what's right, that's what you're going to get out of it. If you input something that's wrong, that's what you're going to get from it, something that is not right. And the computer is just like our human mind. What we put in our mind is what's going to come out of our mind. Back when the computer started and they realized negative or bad input, bad data, or data, however you want to pronounce it, produces bad outcomes. So they came up with the slogan GIGO, GIGO, G-I-G-O, which means garbage in, garbage out. That's right, that's GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. And I, as I looked at the information that we're using this morning, and I saw that, garbage in, garbage out. But you know, when we think on these things, Philippians 4, 8 and 9, The bottom line is, the result is God in and God out. That's right. What you put in you is what's coming out of you. What you put in, that's what's coming out of you. God has made it so that we have a minimum of 10,000 thoughts a day. 10,000 thoughts a day. And that's going to equate to about 3.5 million thoughts that we have a year. And I know none of us really stop to think. We can't sit and count the thoughts that we're having. But who thought that we would have 10,000 separate different thoughts a day? And that's how we are made. We're able to do that. And if someone had given you $10,000 this morning and told you to spend it any way you wanted to, but you had to have it all spent before you went to bed tonight, you would be very careful and mindful of how you would spend that money. You're going to figure out what you're going to do with it, who you're going to bless with it, you know, what good will come out of it, or can you invest it, can you get more from it. And, you know, and just as I'm saying that, you know, the thought of having that $10,000 and what you'll do with it, we will spend so much time devoting in the thought pattern of how we're going to spend that money and so forth, yet we spend such little time on thinking how to spend our thoughts, how to spend our thoughts. But our thoughts are truly, truly important. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Beware of what you set your mind on, because you surely will become that." Norman Vincent Peale said, "Change your thoughts and you'll change the world." And I love this one. Henry Ford gave that truth a different spin when he declared, "Thinking is the hardest work in the world," which is probably why so few people engage in it. I thought that one was something. Thinking is the hardest work in the world, which is probably why so few people engaged in it. How many times have you had a conversation with someone and their response to when you say, "Why did you do such and such? What possessed you to do such and such?" And what is the answer, everybody? And they'll tell you quickly, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking. Well, this morning we want to share with you thinking on these things. Thinking. Having our minds renewed. What is it? What can we say? What can we do to bring about a whole different thought pattern, a different way of living, and so forth? I'm going to ask Minister Tabika to share with us the four kinds of negative thinking that people get into. Beloved, would you do that, please?
Yes, ma'am. Amen. So the first one is going to be self-pity. And, you know, sometimes like when we go through things and it hurts us really bad, or somebody says something about us, or somebody made fun of us, you know, whatever it may be. Sometimes we get lost in that. Sometimes life is hard for all of us. And there's a saying that says, into each life some rain must fall. So it's very easy to think that somehow we've been dealt, you know, an unfair hand. And, you know, and then we look at other people and we think that their life is so grandiose while we're living in perpetual downpour. And then the self-pitying person will say, you don't know what I'm going through. Or you try living with this 24 hours a day and see how happy you are. And then when you are constantly thinking, you know, self-pity about the things that you've gone through, and that takes on, that begins to infiltrate your heart. It begins to do things to your heart. And it's almost like, the victim spirit. Because, you know, people have gone through some things and they haven't let it go. So then every time somebody offends them, it's the woe is me. You know, my mother did this to me when I was young and my father was never there. So people use all of these things and they become consumed and they become the victim. Everything, you know, they're always right because of something that happened to them, because somebody else hurt them. So they, in their minds, nobody can say anything to them because I was hurt when I was young. I was, whatever it was that they went through, that is what they use. And so they play the victim in everything. Even when they're wrong, they'll play the victim. The next one is blaming. And this is the other extreme. Blaming is an attempt to find a scapegoat for your problems. You can't face life on your own, so you want to find another person that seems to be the source of your problems. It may be your husband or your wife. It could be your children, your parents, whomever. It often is a friend, a neighbor, or your boss, or it could be someone at church. And blaming is dangerous because it leads to perpetual victimhood, like I just was explaining. So a lot of people, they may do something to, you know, somebody else and then blame that person. They may be very disrespectful to their parents as adults, and then the reason they'll say, well, I'm disrespectful to you because you weren't there for me when I was younger. And, I broke your TV because I just didn't know how to deal with my issues. I didn't know how to deal with them, so that was my way, you know, of getting you back for what you did to me. So they won't accept responsibility for their own actions, and in order for them to feel better, they have to find somebody else to blame it on. It's never them. It's always somebody else. The third one is an unwillingness to change. And this more or less follows from the first two categories. So once you immerse yourself in self-pity, and once you discover that you are a victim, the logical conclusion is that you can't or won't change. And unfortunately, this type of negative thinking tends to reinforce itself. And since you can't change, then your behavior can't be your own fault. And so you never have to face it honestly. And this person will say, well, it's no use of trying, or I'll never change. I have every right to be hurt, and I'm not going to give it up. Or I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to stop. or God made me this way, so it's not my fault. You know, I hear that a lot. God made me this way, so it's not my fault. And people that people, you know, will hide behind things like this so that they don't have to deal with their own situation. Their eyes are so focused on everybody else and what they're doing to them that they don't even take the time to realize that they may be hurting somebody else. And when people say God made me this way, so it's not my fault, a lot of times our life situations shape us into how we react to certain things. So when people say, you know, maybe maybe it's something that somebody is trying to point out to them about themselves, and so they'll say, well, God made me this way, so it's not my fault. But they're not realizing that God also shows us things about ourselves through other people so that we can change. So if you constantly have fallouts with people, like, you can never keep a friendship. At some point, you have to look at yourself. Okay, well, every time I meet somebody, I can only, you know, be friends with them for 2 months, and then after that, it falls apart. And if this is happening with everybody that you befriend or whatever, look at yourself. But we have the tendency to look at the other person and say, mm-hmm. well, you know, they did this, that, and the other. But in reality, it's about you. So we have to do an introspection of our, you know, of us, and stop blaming and focusing on what everybody else is doing. Because in the meantime, you're dying. You're dying in your mess. You're dying in your situation. You're dying in that God made me this way, so it's not my fault. It comes to a point where you have to deal with your own issues. And the fourth one is anger and bitterness. Usually this is the logical outcome. Once you begin to pity yourself, you become a victim, but victims can't be blamed, right? So therefore, you refuse to face the possibility that you yourself are the source of your own problems. So when others suggest otherwise, you get angry, defensive, and bitter. You remember every miserable thing ever done to you or against you. You stew in your juices over the slightest negative remark made by others. You bristle at any notion that your life could be different. You will hold a grudge, even though you say you don't. You glare and turn your head when you see your enemy coming towards you. You shut them out cold. And so your thoughts matter. Negative thinking leads to negative living, which is absolutely correct. And I remember the part where it says you glare and turn your head when you see your enemy coming towards you. I've done that to people before. It's like I see them before they see me, and I turn my head because I don't want to talk to them. And so, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, they ain't see me. So, but it's like, that something within you it's just that anger and bitterness that you don't want to have a conversation with them because you're not healed. And so when you're not healed, you tend to say things or look or have this demeanor about yourself that basically says, get away from me. So, you know, we just have to be mindful of all of these things because, yes, these things can have your thoughts so wrong and out of control that you eventually will just disconnect and you'll become depressed and oppressed and all these other things that, you know, come with negative thinking. Amen, Apostle.
Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. And before we go any further, I also want to give credit to Pastor Ray Pritchard. He is the one who did this sermon for his congregation. He did his sermon, and so by his notes, that is where we are coming from. So I wanted to give him credit for that. Praise be unto God. And also, thanks to God, while we are sharing this information, if any of you wish to speak, please remember that you can press 1 on your keypad, and that will notify us that you wish to speak, and we will definitely open up the lines to you. So thank God for what he's doing. You also got a couple of moments to reach out to someone else, send them a text, tell them to call in. And today we're speaking on Think on These Things. Now, Minister Tabika shared with you the four areas, of negative thinking. What I want to share with you at this moment is the benefits of the positive thinking. Remember again that the scripture is, the fact that God, first of all, didn't make us that way, we would only have negative thoughts. That's why he told us in the word, or we were told in the word, that we had to renew our minds. That's why we're told to cast down those imaginations and so forth and so on, because we have the negative and we have the positive. And in the Garden of Eden, before man fell, all he had was positive. There was no negative thinking until the temptation came, from the deceiver, and he deceived our great-great-great-great on that parents. He deceived them, and they fell into that trap. And from that point on, we had the negative thinking, the knowledge of good and bad, the knowledge of evil and so forth. And so we began to operate in that. But however, the opposite of the negative thinking is positive thinking. Once again, finally, brothers, whatever thing is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if any is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. So this verse gives us 8 questions to ask about our thoughts. And before you think, before you speak, ask yourself, the 6 questions, ask yourself these questions. All right, let's start with the very first one. Is it true? Whatever is true, that is the fact that we must go through. Does the sound, does the ring of truth come from what it is you're about to say? Are you speaking truth? And if you are speaking the truth, this would rule out dishonesty, untruthfulness, unreliable statements that we would make about someone or something. So is what you're saying true? And don't be deceived by the enemy when you say that it was true that she hurt me. It was true that they did this. It was true that they did such and such. You are still doing the negative thing. You're to think about those things, and we'll get to that point. You are to think about those things that come from a godly place. Because Jesus is truth. So that's what it is. Is it true? Is it true? Second is it noble? Whatever is noble, the word noble means honorable, worthy of reverence. It refers to that which is majestic and awe experience. This word is used in another place to describe the proper qualities of an elder. So is your thought life honorable? Do you ponder on things that are noble and of serious purpose, or do you dwell on the frivolous and the trivial? So is it noble? And you put the truth with the noble. It's true, it's honorable, it's worthy of reverence, it's worthy of it. So again, looking at it and bringing it all together, not just a piece of the negative thing that is true. Is it right? The word says whatever is right, that's what we're thinking of. This means in a conformity to God's standards, not is it right in my eyes or is it right in somebody else's eyes, but is it right in God's eye? If your thoughts broadcast for the world to hear, would you be ashamed or embarrassed about what it is they hear? If others knew what you were thinking, what would they think of you? And just think about the time when you have been sitting alone and or even with a group of people, and you see someone and that person is good looking, fine, really put together, and you begin to lust over that person, and yet you're in the company of men and women all together. You're there with them and you know, just a conversation that's being held. It could even be a conversation about the word of God that's being held, and you're there and your thoughts have wandered off into this lustful place. That's where your thought had wandered off, into a lustful place. So just think about this. Think about while you're thinking about lust, my God, she is so fine. Oh, my God, he is so handsome. Just think as if by some, and I'm using the term magic right now, but by some magic way that all of a sudden what you were thinking is being broadcast in the room. And people who were talking, all of a sudden people are getting quiet and they're looking around and they're listening like, where is that coming from? And you are having all of these lustful thoughts and it's being exposed to the whole room. Everybody hears what you're thinking. They don't know that it's coming from you, but they hear it. Would you be embarrassed by what is being heard? Would you be ashamed by what is being heard? This is why we need to be careful, even though that type of thing doesn't happen, but God hears and he knows what it is that you're thinking. And again, what you think, people, what you think, that's what you will become. That's, you know, who you are. So be mindful of what you think. The next thing is it pure? The word says whatever is pure. And pure means undefiled, chaste, clean, and holy. It touches the whole area of moral purity. Is your thought life clean? People, I don't hear the youth of today saying it, but, you know, back a couple of generations and my generation, man, people would be saying stuff, and man, it was, man, get your mind out of the gutter. Come on. You know, if you live in the gutter, don't be surprised that your mind is covered with slime. You know, you can hold a conversation with somebody, and you know how words have double meanings and so forth, and when they have these double meanings, you say one thing coming from a pure place, and because the double meaning is there, they think in the negative place or in the unpure place, in the dirty place, the filthy, and so forth. And as man, get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter. Pastor Pritchard had picked up a list of probing questions from the Promise Keepers organization, and he said that men who really want to live godly lives should ask each other these seven questions each week as a means of staying pure in this dirty world that we live in. And these seven questions are to help them in being accountable. And you know, it's not just them. He got it, you know, because it was for the men. But this is something that we all should ask ourselves and ask, you know, one another, have somebody that's accountable. And those questions are, and this is from the man's point of view, listen carefully. Have I been with a woman in the past in a way that could appear compromising? And saints, that's something. And for us women, we have to, have I been with a man in the past week in a way that could appear compromising? Listen, let me tell you, I know there are times that we have work husbands and work wives, you know, so that right there indicates that there's a problem, okay? There is a problem, the fact that you are calling somebody else your husband and or your wife, and they are not the person that you are married to. And you think it's cute and it's all right because it's just my work husband or my work wife. But there is an emotion. You're having emotional affairs right there. Okay, let me move on with that. Have all of my financial dealings been filled with integrity? Have I viewed any sexually explicit material? Have I spent adequate time in Bible study and prayer? Have I spent quality time with or given priority to my family? Have I fulfilled the mandates of my calling? And the last question is it. Have I just lied to you? Have I just lied to you? Can you imagine having to ask this question, these questions, to somebody that's holding you accountable, or them asking you these questions, and in the end, the last one is, have you lied? Did you tell me the truth about each one of these? This is something that will make you seriously, really, really think, so that you will start telling the truth, so that you will get yourself, you know, you will clean, that you will purify your thoughts. This is not to bring condemnation to you, beloved. This is to convict us that where our thought, the time that we're spending doing things that we should not be doing as men and women of God, these things we shouldn't be doing, but think on these things. Now, going back to the scripture, the other part, number five, was, is it lovely? Whatever is lovely. And here in the New Testament, lovely means love towards. So it has the idea of attracting loveliness as a magnet attracts iron fillings. One person translated as those things that grace attracts. So do your thoughts automatically attach themselves to that which is beautiful and lovely? A thought may be true and even right and still not be lovely. If it's not lovely, if it doesn't make you lovely, don't say it, don't think it, don't do it, don't dwell on it, don't repeat it. Don't repeat it. Beloved, all of these, remember, you can't take one part of this scripture. You cannot take one part and live on that. You must listen to all six of the things, whatsoever things are. And this is how the mind is being renewed as well. Is it admirable? That is it worthy of study and contemplation, or is it cheap? This question asks us to focus on those things that are positive, not negative, constructive, not destructive, things that build up, not things that tear down. This means editing your words so that you delete the non-admirable things from your vocabulary. Let me give you another example with that. I was doing a counseling session and with this lovely couple, young couple, very lovely, lovely couple. And the gentleman was saying that, you know, he wants to push his fiance, you know, push her to the place of being her best, push her, you know, to the place of getting her education, if that's what she wants. Whatever it is that her dreams are, he wants to push her, you know, to that place. So now, I hope you're hearing this, he wanted to push her. Well, after listening to that, I said to him, beloved, may I please offer, you know, some word of advice? He said, sure, sure, sure. And I said, let's change the verbiage here. Let's not say push, because you know the old word, the old saying, when push comes to shove, and push comes to shove, push is aggressive. You know, push has a negative connotation in that statement. I want to push her. I said, honey, change the word to encourage. Because when you're pushing me, you're nagging me, you're bothering me. But encourage her to get her education. Encourage her to live out her dreams. Encourage her. Look at how those two words, doing exactly what he wants to do, but how they sound, how they come across to the person that you're speaking to. I'd rather be encouraged than pushed. I'd rather be encouraged than pushed. So we must be careful on the words that we use. Okay, next is it morally excellent?
Beloved.
Yes,
beloved,
darling.
Excuse me. We have a caller that that wishes to speak.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Your last four digits are 1166. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. Real well. How are you?
Great. I just wanted to thank the Lord for his wisdom, his revelation, and his knowledge on how to think on these things. I just praise God today. I won't have any excuse. I just thank the Lord for showing us that he wants us to walk the word out. And I just thank you all for allowing God to pour through his wisdom nuggets on showing us how to get our mind renewed, how to apply that scripture in our life, how to get our heart, our soul, our spirit, where it will bring God honor and glory. I just thank you all for today. I'm just telling you this right here, how to think on these things and really to meditate and really to understand, but to apply the scripture and to know how to apply it. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for your comment. Thank you. And thanks. The last thing on that is it something that God would approve? Taking together these eight questions point the way towards positive thinking. Think on these things. That's what Paul said when he wrote Philippians. He said, think on these things. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. It is in the present tense. So keep focusing your thoughts in those eight areas that we just mentioned. Keep focusing there. Find the truth and think about it. Find the noble and think about it. Find the lovely and think about it. Find the virtuous and think about it. Do it. And verse 9 tells us that the God of peace will be with us. Those who think on these things experience God's peace in their lives. And beloved, I do my best to walk in this. I do my best to walk in this, and I encourage you, walk in this scripture. And as Lady Jackie said, God bless her, you know, she said that to walk out the word, we can't just read the word and even memorize the word and not be changed by the word. If you read it and memorize it, and you choose to stay in the place you're in, then that's on you. That's on you. But when you read it, memorize it, walk in it, you got to change. You've got to change. And that's what God wants us to do. So you said, well, how do I change my mind? How do I change my mind? Look, analyze your input. That's the first thing you got to do. Analyze your input. Remember when we said that guy go, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in your mind, what you get out will be garbage. And this touches so many areas of your life. Minister Tabika, could you run down that list of the things quickly, please?
Yes, ma'am. These are the things under analyze your input. What about the music you listen to, the movies you watch, the videos you rent, the radio stations you listen to or in the morning, the books you read, the shows you watch on TV, and the conversations that you have at work. What about the phone calls you make, the people you date, the places you go to on the weekend, the places you go to on vacation, your secret habits, your hobbies, your daydreams, things you do when you are away from home, the magazines you look at in the airport, the porn movies they offer at the hotels, and what about the letters you write and the ones that you read? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we should take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so in order to do that, you got to look at the sources of your input. What you're putting in, again, is what is going to come out. The next thing is change your diet. This is the logical second step, but first we have to find out what you've been putting in your mind, then decide to change. So it won't be easy because you looked. I'm sorry, you've been hooked on trashy novels, cheap TV, soap operas, trivial conversations, and living off gossip and salacious rumors, but you still have to do it. If you want to truly change your life, find a friend who can hold you accountable. And this, and you know, he's saying in his experience, lasting change happens much faster than when someone you respect is holding you accountable for thoughts and your behavior. The next one is examine the influence of your friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us that bad company corrupts good character. Do you know what that means? So the example is, if you run with the pigs, you're going to smell like the pigs. If you run with the rats, you're going to look like the rats. So, you know, it's, and another one is birds of a feather flock together. So if you're hanging out with a gang, but you say you're not in the gang, but you're hanging around them, people are going to assume that you're in the gang. And so what they do, they're assuming that you do. So if they love the party, you're going to have to party with them, or you're going to have to get some new friends. If they like to drink, you're going to feel uncomfortable unless you drink with them. If they use coarse language, you'll pick up their vocabulary. If they are angry at the world, guess what? Pretty soon you'll be angry too. If they are negative, hostile, critical, filled with self-pity, and convinced that the world has cheated them, those traits will rub off on you sooner or later. So many Christians fall into the trap of thinking they can lift their friends up. All too often, they end up being dragged down. You'll never get a new mind unless you examine your friends and the impact they have on your life. And then begin to memorize scripture. This is, you know, a big deal. When you memorize, when you intentionally memorize scripture, you know, you're going to the word, you're focusing, maybe he's saying he focused on Psalm 91 by, you know, he slowly from memory, slowly with deep emotion, bringing out the meaning of every word, looking at each meaning of the, each meaning. So when you read the scripture, look at words, look up their meaning, see what they mean, and just take your time and memorize the scripture, because what this is doing, this is feeding your spirit. So where you were feeding your spirit with negative stuff, when you begin to read the word, his word now is feeding your spirit, and then it's pushing out all of that negative stuff. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's Psalms 91:1. And he said he discovers that, this is Pastor Pritchard says that he discovered that God's word soothes his soul, chases away his fears, and brings his problems down to their proper size. Wow. So, you know, that's what I said. Like, when you begin to dwell on his word and his word feeds your spirit, then all of that negative stuff that you put in your spirit will begin to move out of the way, because God's word is so full that your spirit doesn't even have any room for all that negativity that used to live there. The next one is, remember, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. I'm going to say that again.
Yes,
you're not
please.
What you think you are, but what you think you are. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you think today, you become tomorrow. Your mind is the best predictor of your future. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with sexual fantasies, your body will find a way to fulfill those desires. If you dwell on your problems, they will soon overwhelm you. And I'm not going to read all of these for the sake of time. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. So you get the gist of what it is that he's saying. And then the flip side is also true. If you focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. And you have the power. And it says, if you are a Christian, you have within you the power to obey this command. You can literally change your mind if you want to. And how do you do that? By remembering that all that is best is embodied in a person. and that he speaks of is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the most noble Son of God. He is the standard of righteousness. He is the fountain of purity. He is altogether lovely. He is the admirable Savior. He is the source of all virtue. He is the one whom God entirely approves. So there we go. So we just poured into you some positive things that you can begin to practice. So, and you can share this with others, pouring positive things in, mostly the Word of God, will it will cause a great effect in your life, where you'll begin to come alive, you'll begin to breathe, and you'll begin to live. Because remember, negativity will kill your spirit. Amen, Apostle?
Amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. So, folks, do you want to change your mind? Do you want to? You can. You can. God has put the possibility within your grasp, as we have shared with you today. You don't have to stay where you are. Lay hold of Jesus by faith. Walk with him. Talk with him. Learn of him. Hold on and don't let go. Take Christ into your mind. Enthrone him in your mind. Then you will find it easy to think on these things. Do that and your life will never be the same. Will never be the same. I'm telling you, this is so vitally important to each and every one of us, that we need to understand that Satan wants us to be in that negative place. He wants us to be in that negative place. Beloved, your last four digits are 4856. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Apostle. Thanks, and Minister Tabika, and good morning to everyone. I'll be quick because I know that the show is almost up, but just want to say that I just rededicated my life to the Lord earlier this year, and I came to him because I was in a dark place and I was trying to get out of it, and everything I was doing wasn't working. So at the time, I just started listening to gospel songs. But my intention wasn't to come back to the Lord. It was just for me to feel better and get through what I was in so I could go on and do what I wanted to do. But as I just kept feeding my spirit the word through the songs, God drew me. He changed me, because my intention was never to come back to Jesus. I had backslid a couple of times over the years, and I was just like, I'm done. I've done it. I've tried. I don't know how to be saved. So, but he will change you. If you feed your spirit with God, his word, he will change you. He will do it. You just submit. And he has changed me completely, totally. And so he brought me out of that mess that I was in. He delivered me, saved me. And I'm still staying in that place. Now I feed even more on sermons and just everything. Because I need to be lost in Jesus. The way I was lost in that mess I was in, I said, Jesus, I need to be lost in you to where I can't find my way out. So I eat, sleep, breathe Jesus all day, every day. And yes, the devil will still come sometime, but I don't say, I do not give myself to meditating on the hurt that I went through and all of that. No, I'm feeding on the word and what the word says, because it works. Jesus works. I didn't think I could come out, but he works. You just submit and keep feeding on him. He will do the rest. He will change you. I'm living
Amen. Amen. Beloved,
Amen.
Thank you. I'm telling you, I just love to hear, you know, you speak about, you know, how Jesus really saved you. He brought you from, you know, the place he brought you from. And there are so many times, saints, that we forget of where we came from, and you're not to live in the where you came from, but sometimes you need to remind yourself of what God saved you from, so that you could be forever grateful and know that if he did it for you, he'll do it for someone else. And you share that so that you can encourage someone to be in that place where they're receiving Jesus. The positive thing that she said is he will do it. You drench yourself in the word, and God will change you. You cannot be putting all of that in and not have something change. Beloved, we have come to the end of our time. Minister Tabika, thank you so much for, you know, being here as always, co-hosting. Thanks to God. Mm-hmm. We thank all of you for being with us on our show today. Remember to share with someone else. And remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you. See you next Saturday.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.